Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Therefore, continually resist the reign of sin in your mortal body, resulting in your obedience to its passions. Do not present your members to sin as tools of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as living ones who have been brought out of death, and present your members as tools of righteousness to God, because sin will have no lordship over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. You know, exegetes, that is, those who interpret the original languages of Scripture and draw theology out of the Scriptures, exegetes, are wont to say that theology is all in the conjunctions and prepositions. So if you have to think back to grammar school here. Remember, conjunctions are those connecting words like or and, or therefore. And prepositions are those words that give relationship to two things, like over or under or by or through or in. Theology is in the conjunctions and the prepositions. And it's true. If you change one little word of a verse, it can change the entire meaning. And so, of course, careful study and reading of the text is important so that we can learn what our Lord would teach us. Well, that's good to keep in mind this morning with this text from Romans 6. I mean, Paul here, he's talking about good works. Apparently, God actually cares how we live. And for whatever reason, the discussion of good works often makes Lutherans kind of uncomfortable. Because I think maybe we're rightly afraid of confusing our good works with our salvation. That somehow our good works might merit salvation. But Lutherans have always upheld good works and deemed them necessary, since that's what Scripture teaches. But we are reminded here in this text that when it comes to the relationship between our good works and our salvation, we are what we might call therefore Christians, as opposed to so that Christians. We are therefore Christians, as opposed to so that Christians. And the difference between those two is the difference between night and day. It's the difference between death and life. Between enslavement to sin and enslavement to Christ. You see, the so that Christian, that's the one that we might call the works righteousness Christian. This is the one who would do good works so that God would favor them, so that he would forgive them, so that he would save them. Indeed, this is actually the way of all of us. In our natural, sinful, unregenerate old Adam. All of us like to minimize our sin before God and overemphasize our apparently good deeds as though he should be pretty happy with us. Well, if you try to be a so that Christian and approach Paul's words here in Romans 6, you're going to have some issues. Because Paul here makes some pretty heavy exhortations in our text. I mean, these aren't small potatoes. Listen to what he says. Resist the reign of sin in your mortal body. I mean, he's not just talking about a mistake here and here or there. He's not talking sort of a perpetual behavior issue. No, he talks about sin as a lord, a taskmaster who reigns in power and who doles out the wages of death itself. Not something to be easily managed by mere sinful mortals so that God could look with favor upon us. He goes on, don't present your members to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. Easier said than done, Paul. I mean, how easily we enlist our tongue into the service of the rumor mill, which churns with slander against our neighbor as we casually sip our coffee with the ladies or with the guys. Of course, we know how to preface our slander with the words, bless her heart. Or, he's a great guy, don't get me wrong. And that makes it all okay. How easily we enlist our eyes to lust, to covet that which is not ours. How easily we enlist our hearts to carry resentments against our neighbors for decades. Paul goes on. Instead, present yourselves to God and your members as instruments of righteousness. Man, Paul, would you let up already? That requires discipline that I frankly don't have. Frankly, most of the time I don't want to have it, Paul. Enlisting myself into God's service? Man, that's not exactly going to make me the most popular guy in the break room at work. I might lose friends. I might upset family members over this one, Paul. Couldn't you ease up a bit? And he goes on. And if we read these exhortations apart from their context, we could easily walk away from them with a so that kind of mentality. Do these things so that God will be happy with you. But dear friends, to do that would be to enslave ourselves to sin. The very thing that Paul warns us against. Because to constantly be doing good works so that God is pleased with you is in fact to keep your eyes focused on yourself. And you will be more enslaved at the end of the day than you were at the beginning because your failure to keep these exhortations will be compounded. It will nag you. And if you're a so that Christian, you will have to conclude that forgiveness, salvation, the love of God are not for you. After all, if you do good works so that God will love you, but then you've failed to do good works or haven't done them well enough, well, then it logically follows that you don't deserve the other half of the so that equation. And yet, we are not so that Christians. We are therefore Christians. And it makes all the difference. You see, all of these exhortations in Romans 6, they hinge on one little three-letter word in the Greek, oun. Therefore. See, the order of Romans 6 is critical to understanding what Paul's getting at, because here in verse 12, Paul begins with therefore. And you know the adage, right? When you see a therefore in Scripture, you always need to ask what it's there for. Because it signals to you what comes next depends on what has just been said. So what has Paul just said in verses 1 through 11? Well, it's this beautiful promise that's contained in baptism. Listen to what Paul declares about you. You have been baptized into Christ's death. You were buried with Christ and therefore raised with Christ. You were united with Christ in his death and resurrection. Your old sinful self was crucified. The body of sin was brought to nothing. You've been set free from sin. You are dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. These aren't commands. They're not exhortations. He's not telling you to do anything. He's simply declaring the promises of God that are true. Therefore, continually resist the reign of sin in your mortal body. Not on your own volition, that would be silly, but because of the truth that God has already freed you from it. It wouldn't make sense to enslave yourself once again to sin and death after having been given true and lasting life. And so, present yourselves as tools of righteousness to God. Not so that God will be happy with you, not so that he will love you more, not so that he will save you, but because he already has. Now, to be sure, will you sin again? Yeah, you will. Will you sin the same sin again? Well, more than likely. But you see, part of presenting yourself to God and your members as tools of righteousness is taking that sin that you would lock up in your heart, that sin that you would try to deal with yourself, that sin that you would try to manage and get under control so that God would forgive you for it. Well, part of being a slave to Christ is taking that sin and giving it to Christ. Repenting and saying, Christ, be merciful to me, a sinner. And he hears it, and he doesn't say, man, thanks for repenting, so now that I can forgive your sin. He doesn't say, good to hear, now go do these things so that I know you mean it, and then I can forgive you. Instead, he says a plain word of forgiveness, I forgive you. And it's done. Therefore, you are forgiven. And then he sends you out. He sends you out into your vocations to live a therefore life. To be the most faithful and loving spouse that you can be. Not because God needs you, but because your spouse needs you. He sends you out to speak well of your neighbors, to defend them, even when it's extremely difficult at times, because they can be so annoying. But God doesn't need you to. They do. He sends you out to be patient and self-controlled with your coworkers, who can be rather frustrating at times, but they need you to present yourself to God as a tool of righteousness. And why do you do any of it? Because you already are living ones who have been delivered from death, who truly are no longer under law, but under grace. So, dear friends, today, enslave yourself to Christ, which is the only true freedom. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.